how sometimes you hear phrases and you start to hear them more and more and more until it comes kind of an accepted part of our lexicon?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're things like that don't actually perhaps exist. I'm not going to go into some of them. They could be controversial. But the one that's coming up lately is emerging adulthood. We've been hearing that a lot recently. And there's been some pushback. People are wondering if there's such a thing as emerging adulthood. What does that mean? What exactly is an emerging adult? Or are we kids until adolescence, until 18, until you can vote or drink, maybe rent a car? When do you become an adult?
I mean, I don't know. We've been talking about the war. If you can be sent to war, are you an adult?
Right, but you can be sent to war before you can drink.
Exactly. Anyway, we started a conversation yesterday when we asked you to finish the sentence. You know you're an adult when Valerie Kaler.
Kaler,
you know her?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, really? Is she a friend?
Love her, yes.
Oh, well, I'm sorry that I mispronounced your name, Valerie. She filled in a few blanks on Facebook. She wrote, you know you're an adult when you fill the tank instead of putting in $5 worth.
That's true.
And Mike tweeted us, you know you're an adult when you do your own laundry.
You're kidding? My 12-year-old does
my
his own laundry.
My kids do their own laundry, too.
Here's another one.
Hi, this is Leslie Fellner from Fairland, New Jersey, and you know when you're an adult when your parents start treating you as an adult and not a child.
Well, some people in academic circles...
Does that ever happen?
No.
No, that really
never.
Doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. Maybe Leslie is one of the only ones. But academics, some of them are saying that we're kids even longer than that. They say that there's a distinct developmental stage between 18 and the late 20s, and it's called emerging adulthood. But is it real, or is that a bogus distinction? We're joined now by science journalist Robin Marantz-Hennig. Recently wrote about emerging adulthood for the New York Times Magazine, and Robin's daughter is with us, Samantha Hennig. Like her mom, also a journalist, and we'll see whether they agree or disagree with the idea of emerging adulthood. First of all, Robin, tell me where this whole thought about emerging adulthood, where does that come from? Is this a real thing?
Well, some people think it's a real thing. About 10 years or so, a little bit more, social scientists started noticing that people were taking longer to achieve what were known as the milestones of adulthood. It was later in their 20s that they were getting married, that they were becoming financially independent, having children, leaving the home, those kind of things. And they started to wonder whether people in their 20s were developmentally different from younger people and from full adults. It was a lot like what happened with discovering adolescence about 100 years ago. Some social changes led to the realization that there was this time of life where people were psychologically different. And the social changes were similar now from about 100 years ago. Education went on for longer. It became okay to not marry because premarital sex was okay. There were more job options for women, so they didn't want to rush into marriage. There were lots of social factors and the economy, which made it harder for entry-level jobs, especially without any kind of higher education. So some psychologists started to look at this to try to analyze whether something different was going on with these young people.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously there's been a lot of pushback on the idea of emerging adulthood, that maybe people aren't getting jobs because they don't have to, because their parents will continue to support them. But there's also the idea that this is for a relatively select number of people, that there's a huge portion of the population for whom the idea of not accepting adult responsibilities, not getting a job, that's not even an option.
That's true. A huge proportion of the population in the U.S. and an even larger proportion in the developing world. And that's one of the reasons that people are uncertain whether you can call this a developmental stage, because a stage, by at least old-fashioned stage theory, has to be something that's universal.
Well, Samantha, let me go to you and see what you think about this. You are in your mid-20s. You are a journalist. Your mom says you're not an emerging adult because you have your own career. You don't live in the basement. You're financially independent. What do you think about that?
I'm actually surprised by that. I mean, I don't live in the basement because my parents don't have a basement. They live in Manhattan and have a small apartment, but I did live in their small apartment. And, you know, I'm financially independent, but I fit a lot of the other traits that my mom mentions in the article. I'm not married. I don't have kids. I've moved apartments 4 times in 12 months. So I think in a lot of ways, I am exactly the sort of thing that she's talking about, and so are a lot of my friends.
But do you see that as a developmental stage? I mean, I moved a lot of times, but I still had to take on a lot of the adult, I mean, I had to take on all of the adult responsibilities, and, you know, not getting married in my 20s was a choice. I almost felt like that was a responsible choice.
Yeah, no, I think it's a tough call. I mean, I think that, you know, it's hard on a personal level to divorce what are the things that are just culturally, you know, letting me act this way, and what are the things that really define this as a unique stage. And I think that, you know, the studies about the brain still being developing, those make it seem like there is more going on there than just the fact that, you know, it's a bad economy and I haven't met the right person yet.
Well, Robin, let me go back to you. What changes do we make in our treatment of somebody between the age of, say, 18 and 28? What changes if they are actually an emerging adult instead of a full-grown adult?
Well, you know, one of the things that I tried to get across in the article is that one of the changes should be not to stress out about it so much. I think that parents are very worried if their grown children aren't on a track toward what they consider, you know, a real career and a real life partner commitment and that kind of thing. So I think that one change is just attitudinal, that we would see the 20s as a time that's meant for exploration and self-focus and experimentation. There could be some social changes that come about, too. We could set up some institutions where it makes it more possible to be independent during a period when you're still going to school, and maybe give some more support for education, because kids are left with all sorts of student loans at the end of the education.
Yeah, which is definitely an adult responsibility, whether they choose to accept it or not. That is Robin Morantz-Hennig, a science journalist, author of a new piece in the New York Times Magazine on this theory of emerging adulthood. We also spoke with her daughter, Samantha Hennig, 20-something daughter, also a journalist.